So why can't or don't we hear the screams of the non-humans that this culture kills? I think one of the best lines that I ever wrote, and one of my favorite lines I've ever written, was the beginning of A Language Older Than Words, which is that in order to maintain our way of living, we must tell lies to each other, and especially to ourselves. It's not important, really, that the lies be particularly believable. It's not necessary that the lies be particularly believable, but merely that they be erected as barriers to truth. And this gets to the heart of, I think, a lot of the problems of this culture. There is a level at which we do hear the screams of the trees, and we do hear the screams of all of those that this culture is killing. And then on another level, we don't. And one of the reasons we don't is because we have been socialized our whole lives to not attend to the suffering of others. Because if we attended the suffering of others, we couldn't live the way we do. And so every one of us, in a sense, faces a choice, which is we can either retain our natural, inherent empathy and connectedness, or we can continue this dance of world destruction and gain access to ice cream 24/7 and computers and automobiles and everything that this way of life, everything that this the comforts or elegancies that this way of life brings to us. There was a 19th century pro-slavery philosopher who argued that the reason that you have to have slavery is because the comforts or elegancies of our way of life is based on it. And that is true in terms of the larger picture, the enslavement of the entire world. So how does this happen? There's a passage in Neil Everton's Extraordinary, The Natural Alien, that has always moved me and been very influential to me. And he talks about how early vivisectionists would often cut the vocal cords of the animals on the table so that they couldn't hear them scream as they were torturing them, or you can change the language, as they were sacrificing them, to use the language of the vivisectionists, which is an extraordinary statement too, because they really were sacrificing them to the altar of human supremacism, the altar of our comforts or elegancies, the altar of human progress. And they were sacrifices just as much as any of the human or non-human sacrifices that we hear about from other cultures. These are to propitiate the gods of progress. Any case, what they would do is they would cut the vocal cords. And what Neil Everton says is this cutting of the vocal cords both validates and denies their animal humanity. And it validates their animal empathy because they have to cut the vocal cords or they would know that the animal is being tortured. And they don't want to be reminded of that. On the other hand, it denies that because it's so easy, just one cut and you won't be reminded of what you don't want to remember. And this takes me to something that R.D. Lang talked about, which talked about Jack and Jill are in a relationship. And Jack forgets something, and it doesn't do any good for Jack to forget something unpleasant if Jill keeps reminding him. So what's best is if he can not only forget himself and not only tell Jill to stop reminding him, but if he can get her to forget too, if he can make her feel guilty when she brings it up, if he can tell her it didn't really happen, if he can construct an entire worldview that says this cannot happen. And so that's one of the things that's happening when the vivisectionist cuts the vocal cords, is that the vivisectionist is trying so desperately not to be reminded of what he knows in his heart, which is that these others are living beings. And this leads us to how I have long been convinced that one of the central purposes of most of our philosophies and religions is to rationalize our behavior and to provide reasons for it. It's one thing if you're a man and you want to tell women that they're supposed to serve you, that's one thing. But it's another thing if you can have a God that says this for you, and he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. You can't get away from him, which means that those who don't agree with you aren't just fighting you, they're fighting the big guy too. They're fighting this omnipotent, omniscient God, and that's much scarier. And we can see the same thing for much of our philosophies, where capitalism is just a rationalization for community destroying selfishness. So why don't we hear the voices of those that are being killed? Well, we have a religion that has told us that the animals should fear us. It says this in Genesis, that all the beasts of the earth should fear you. And so we have this God telling us, this God who is invented in our image, this God who looks like us, who doesn't look like an aardvark, who doesn't look like a redwood tree. How different would the entire Bible be if God was a platypus, if God was a raccoon? I think the Bible would be written a little bit differently. You should all fear the raccoon. but leaving that aside, so you have, that's one reason, is because we've been told through, for thousands of years, we've been told that we have dominion over the earth. And we've been told for hundreds of years now through science that the earth is dead, that the earth consists of dead matter, consists of resources to be exploited. I mean, so many Indians have said to me that the fundamental difference between indigenous and Western worldviews is even the most open-minded Westerners perceive listening to the natural world as a metaphor as opposed to the way the world really is. So that's a fundamental difference. If you perceive the world as consisting of resources to be exploited, you will exploit them. If you perceive the world as consisting of other beings to enter into relationship with, you will treat them very differently. There's a great line by a Canadian lumberman: when I look at trees, I see dollar bills. If when you look at trees, you see dollar bills, you're going to treat them one way. If when you look at trees, you see trees, you'll treat them another way. If when I look at this particular tree, I see this particular tree, I'll treat it differently still. And the same is true for women. This is one reason I am so adamantly opposed to pornography, is that if when I look at women, I see orifices, I'm going to treat them one way. If when I look at women, I see women, I'll treat them another way. If when I look at this particular woman, I see this particular woman, I'll treat her differently still. So we are, everything in this culture enculturates us into perceiving others as resources to be exploited. So why do we not hear the screams? A big reason we don't hear the screams is because if we did, we would have to question everything about this way of life.